You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets, as well as the markets closely associated that help move the metals prices. And I am Tori, along with Miles today. And we, every week, cover the fundamentals and the technicals when it comes to the precious metals. And you can follow along on our website at McIlvaney.com. That's McIlvaney.com/radio, and see the imagery that Miles often pulls up as we do a little bit of a deeper dive into the charts, as well as a deeper dive into those underlying fundamentals. This week has not disappointed. Again, volatility continues, and I'm as excited as anybody for Miles, your weekly recap in terms of the price movement since the last recording.
Yeah, let's jump into a weekly recap. What have the precious metals and various markets done over the past 7 days since our recording last Wednesday? We do record midweek on Wednesdays for the show to go out on Thursdays and on the weekends if you're listening on the radio. So kicking it off with gold here this week, coming off the big run-up here over the last couple of months, we have had a little bit of a pause, but gold again is up about 5.3% here over the past week. So after coming down, we're now inching our way back up to the previous highs, currently sitting at $4,200 per ounce. And we will see if we can get back to those old highs as we dig into the gold charts a little bit more here in a minute. Quick glance over to silver. Anything gold does, silver is going to do about twice of it. Silver up 10.6% this week, Tori. Holy smokes. I think most of that was today. I think you're right.
Well, almost half of it. Yeah.
Silver might want to touch the old highs by the time we finish recording at this point. It's only got about a buck to go. Currently sitting at, I think, $53.40 at the moment. So yeah, up a little over 10.5%. And that actually ripped the gold to silver ratio down under 80 again today. So we'll dig into the charts a little bit more, but platinum, not quite as good, but not too bad in its own right. Platinum up 4.2% this week, topping out today on Wednesday, $1,620 bucks, still sitting about $100 above its sister metal palladium, up 4.5%. And just scraping that 1500 mark again. Palladium had been dancing around that 1500 for a couple weeks before pulling back, but we are back up to it. Let's take a glance at the paper markets. The S&P putting in some new highs the other week. It was back down, just like the metals, but it is up this week about 1%, which isn't half bad for the S&P at 6,850 points, and also inching its way back up towards the top. And the dollar, which had a nice rally here over the last week or so, actually is back down, but only slightly, about 0.5%. But that does push the dollar index back under that lovely 100 number that we like so much. So the US dollar index sitting at 99.5 at the moment. So, Tori, a lot of up across the board, a little bit of down in the dollar, which sort of makes sense. Some rebound movement up and down after we're coming off some pretty significant moves in all the precious metals, especially gold and silver, and even the stock market having a pretty stellar performance to end out the summer into fall. So where do you want to start this week, bud?
Well, let's talk a little bit about those upward trajectories. So you talked about the stock market, the dollar index, the metals prices. All are climbing in concert with each other, and that's a pretty unusual event. Oftentimes, the way that we design portfolios, if you called and walking through our investment triangle, you can pretty much, through asset allocation, get better diversification, if you will, by being in different categories. And the reason for that is that two of the three primary categories tend to be going up while one of the three is going down. And this is an example of a week that that's just not the case. So with all three, you can be a little encouraged. Even with the dollar, you pull up a chart of the dollar for 2025 and you think, goodness, whatever that is, I don't want to invest. But if you zoom in, you'll see that we are hitting higher highs and higher lows. So even though we're down to below 100 again at 99.5, technically that's kind of a continuation of this short-term trend from the middle of September where we've been hitting higher highs and higher lows. And in that period of time, gold hit an all-time high. Certainly, it pulled back in the second half of October into last week. but now it's starting to resume that climb, and we're seeing that in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. From the bottom, now we've started to put in higher highs and higher lows. I mean, isn't that a bullish technical analysis, like assuming that these prices can keep going in healthy fashion?
Yes. You know, you always want to zoom out a little bit from the standpoint of trees and forest, right? You want to take it back a little bit and look at what the underlying major trends were in the market. So let's get back to the dollar, for instance. I think the dollar is an excellent example. As we look at the major trend in the dollar over the last 20 years, and the dollar index has been rising as a major trend. You look at the dollar index on a more short-term trend, really just going back to, let's say, around 2021 when they started raising interest rates. And you had this fairly significant shock reaction as the interest rates went up. You saw the US dollar take a pretty severe increase, followed by a shock reaction back down. And then it kind of found a middle ground in between the two. And I think a lot of times what you're going to see in market movements is you have a underlying trend that smooths everything out along kind of a straight line. But the problem is markets tend to run above or below that line on a pretty consistent basis. So now switching over from the dollar to like gold as an example, I think gold's not a marathon runner, it's a sprinter that stops to take a breather from time to time. And we've talked about this here pretty much all summer long, this idea of gold has these explosive periods of growth, one of which we're just coming out of, followed by a period of consolidation, which in this type of inflationary system that we're in, isn't corrective. It's more just of a pause. We're not seeing the big pullbacks in the gold price that I think a lot of people were expecting to see as this market gets more volatile. And I think you were hinting at this when you were talking a second ago. I just went and looked up the definition of something. And that's this: stagflation is an economic condition characterized by stagnant economic growth, high unemployment, and high inflation all occurring simultaneously.
Ding, ding, ding.
You brought up a really interesting point, Tori. Gold's up. Well, shouldn't the stock market be down, right? Gold is a hedge against potential crisis. Oh, but the stock market's also up. Well, if gold's up and the stock market's up, then maybe real estate's down, right? Nope, real estate's been holding in. You know, it's losing a little bit of its momentum from a couple years ago, but it certainly hasn't crashed. So what's a girl to do, Tori?
Yeah.
Do you just put your money everywhere because it's the everything bubble nowadays? And that's where my concerns of like, are we actually looking at a potential stagflationary system moving forward? I keep hearing that word get thrown around.
Well, it's a key word right now. And to me, there are a lot of underlying fundamentals that point to that. And it appears as if we're trying to paper over a problem that already exists. So Hedgeye Risk Management does deep analysis, as you know, on a daily, weekly, monthly, and quarterly basis. And they break down the economy at any given point into quads. Well, they're quad three. They have four quads, obviously. Quad three is the stagflation quad. What does that mean? That means the expectation is for declining economic productivity, or GDP down, and inflation up. The third category is the labor markets. That's the fine line that the Federal Reserve is walking, trying to cut rates in a market where inflation is high, unemployment is high, meaning the labor market is weaker, and GDP is expected to be down. That's a quad three or a stagflationary type of economy. And they believe that we're going to be seeing quad three in the next 3 months. Okay, so this is going to be a turn of the year where, guess what likes quad three? Gold, silver, and platinum. All three of them do very well in that stagflationary type of economic environment. And to me, the problem is one other image. Okay, so let's put up this image of the money supply. If we just look at the M2 money supply, and we can zoom all the way out here, look at this chart. You that are listening and can't see this image, just think of this beautiful perpetual climbing chart from 1990 to the present. The downside of this chart is that the more money there is in the system, now we had a little bit of a post-COVID pullback, but unfortunately the stimulus that resulted has taken us on a further climb, and that's not going to stop in our lifetime. That money supply chart is indicative of monetary policy, and that is that the federal government is going to try to print its way out of the problem. We flood the markets with dollars. And how do you create money? All right. Obviously, there's cash printing, but now there's digital creation of U.S. dollars. In fact, there's digital creation of alternative currencies that drive money supply. There's asset values like the equities markets hitting all-time highs. There's asset values like real estate that you talked about hitting all-time highs, precious metals hitting all-time highs. That is all money creation. The fractional reserve lending system is money creation. And unfortunately, what that means is that this trend is going to continue in perpetuity. That's why gold will continue to climb. And President Trump had this amazing thing to say on X. I'm going to read part of this, but part of it is just kind of jaw-dropping. Part of it's laughable. Part of it is commendable. But here's what he said. People that are against tariffs are fools. We are now the richest, most respected country in the world with almost no inflation and a record stock market price. All right, I'm going to pause right there because we are the richest. I don't know that we're the most respected. It depends on what we're being respected for. But with almost no inflation, wrong. I mean, we've had five straight months now of increasing inflation that's now north of 3%. And that's the way they state it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go do a whole show about the bad numbers that are creating the data points. But anyway, almost no inflation, that's completely missing the mark. We're all feeling it and continue to feel it. And it depends on the asset class. Yes, there are some areas that are getting a little bit cheaper. Cocoa and sugar and wheat and nickel and cotton, right? They're getting a little cheaper. But that's not what changes our monthly budget. What changes our monthly budget is natural gas and a lot of other commodities that have gotten certainly more expensive. People don't feel it as much because crude oil and gasoline prices are down. So the monthly budget has helped. But I'm going to continue here. Yes, a record stock market price. Well, that goes hand in hand with the money supply, just like the gold price does. Miles, the more money that's in the system, the more assets have to revalue.
Yeah, I love that M2 money supply chart we just threw up. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to overlay the gold price right over top of it over the last 50 years.
There you
and
go.
Boy, it's amazing. Minus one or two little, and this is something we talk about a lot when we're looking at the chart side, and anybody who's trying to get into or understand charts, it's not about picking some magical eight ball up and finding some perfect entry and exit point. It's about understanding the psychology of how people react to things in the midst of trends. And you look at how gold has reacted compared to the creation of currency over time in the United States. And minus a couple little events that you can zoom in on the date and go, oh, I remember what happened in 2008 and why people panicked and why gold might have shot up or shot down at a certain price. Like you iron all that stuff out and boy, it's amazing how gold's price is almost identical to the creation of currency in the United States.
That's right.
It's actually the mercury in the thermometer, just telling you what the temperature is.
And it's not the only thing that it's measuring. Let's now take it a step further. Let's overlay the S&P 500 chart, okay?
Are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah, because it's going to be very similar. Again, it's an indication.
Yeah, it's actually very similar, yeah.
Of money supply. And I'll give you two more. How about inflation? Like just the cumulative CPI. Again, a perpetual climb. Now remember, the Federal Reserve has a stated objective of 2% inflation a year. So that means after 4 years, inflation's gone up 8%, if measured the way they measure it. So of course, this is going to be a perpetual climbing chart. Well, money supply and the cumulative gain of inflation is going to look similar. And unfortunately, I've got one more for you, and that is the national debt. So if we can overlay a chart of the national debt, because the strange thing is the more money we create, the further into debt we've actually gone. And that supports the point that they're going to try to print their way out of this. They think that kicking the can down the road by money creation and economic stimulus can overcome the inflationary pressures. And those right there tell the story of why we diversify into gold, because it's got to continue. Those other things are underlying the currents in the gold market.
Yeah. Well, and how much those two things go hand in hand. Traditional Keynesian economic theory, you stimulate the economy and you can use tools like inflation when the economy needs stimulated. But somehow Keynesians always forget the second part where when the economy is doing good, you're supposed to take your foot off the gas.
the spending gas.
Yeah, that seems to be the part where even the Keynesians aren't actually Keynesian, is they forget the other half of it. You're supposed to inflate when things are hard, and you're supposed to deflate when things are good. You're supposed to smooth down the tops and the bottoms, not just the bottoms. And all we've ever really cared about is just slamming on the gas as hard as possible. So the two things end up going hand in hand. You print money to stimulate the economy in a crisis. And then eventually the government goes, well, wait a minute. What if we just overspend above and beyond GDP? What if we just overspend and then we print money to make up the difference? And now, like you said, here's where the deficit comes from. And the deficit turns into debt, and the debt just continues.
That's exactly right.
It's an insurmountable problem that we created for ourselves, and it keeps going because it's one of those things where nobody really knows what's going to happen when it stops going, so we might as well just keep it going, and maybe we'll die and it'll be someone else's problem to deal with.
That's been the case for decades.
Yeah.
And people
and
have
maybe
died.
Maybe they're right. Maybe this just goes on forever. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we've created a new system, and you know, 100 years from now, our great grandkids will be buying gas at a bajillion dollars a gallon. I don't know. It's never worked before.
No, that's right. And the debt reduction hasn't begun. And that's going to take me back to this President Trump quote on X, right? So I'm going to pick back up here. He says, we are taking in trillions of dollars and will soon begin paying down our enormous debt, in all caps, $37 trillion. So I'm going to pause there because soon begin paying down our enormous debt. I don't buy it.
Yeah,
I don't believe it.
I don't buy it either.
It hasn't happened. I'll believe it when I see it. Proof is in the action, not in the plan. And he said $37 trillion. It's actually $38 trillion already. What's $1 trillion?
Yeah, it'll be 39 by the time the show gets published.
That's right. And then in oxymoronic fashion here, we counter that. So he goes from paying down our enormous debt, $37 trillion, to a dividend of at least $2,000 a person will be paid to everyone, not including high-income people.
Oh.
All right. So we're going to pay down the debt soon, but first we're going to increase the debt by doling out $500 billion in $2,000 checks to all citizens that aren't high-income generating people. Now, does that make sense? That doesn't make sense. That actually shows Washington can't take its foot off the gas.
Yeah.
And as a result, we're not seeing the gas lifted when it comes to fueling the engine of the gold price right now. So let's come back to gold, because in the last couple of weeks, we've been wondering, where's the bottom in the slight pullback in gold and silver? And you laid out just beautiful charts of how we came down to moving averages and Fibonacci retracement levels that were very warranted as predictive levels of support for a pullback. And now we've bounced. And I think this is why the government's reopening, and that gets everybody spooked because the gas is back on the spending pedal, and it's increasing the odds of a rate cut in December because everybody thinks now it's a 65% chance of a December rate cut because we're going to get all the data that we weren't getting over the 6 weeks that it was closed. And they're saying, well, this is going to be a rate cut. So gold's going to go up and credit markets are going to expand and spending's going to drive inflation higher. So, of course, gold's going to go up. What are the gold and silver charts showing you now that we've seen this reversal and this real aggressive run back up?
Honestly, nothing yet. You know, something we talked about a week or two ago is when you get these correction periods, one of two things happen. Either you have a reversal, which means you're looking at a deep correction, a significant correction, which tends to be swift. Reversals tend to happen quickly. I would argue unless we see a pretty significant turn back down, we've probably extended beyond the this is a reversal time period. Now, either we're looking at a continuation or we're probably what I think both you and I are hoping for is we get a pause in the rise of the price of gold for a period of time, because I'm personally not ready to see us move into Elliott wave, C wave rise or third segment of the bull market mania when the general public gets involved, which hasn't happened yet. Like, I'm not ready for that yet. I don't think gold's ready for that yet.
I don't want just a pause. I do want a retracement. I want a much bigger pullback, quite honestly.
Well, that's
to stack
that's
up on
fair.
Ounces.
I eventually. Mean, I get it, but yeah, I'm fine with the pause. I'm so heavy into gold now at this point, I'm just pulling couch cushion money out. So I don't really care if it retraces or not. personally. I mean, I'm buying every 2 weeks regardless. But yeah, so here's kind of what I'm looking at. I think silver is an excellent example of this right now because silver's had such an aggressive down and back up. And now we're looking at silver flirting with even matching or inching towards the previous highs. That doesn't necessarily mean we're looking at a breakout move there by any means, but you really need to see highs and lows get exceeded, either right to the top end or the bottom end. So the last time this happened, we had our first dip down this summer. We had a rebound back up, and then actually it came down and even put in a slightly lower. Usually when you have a pause, your first low is the lowest, certainly the second, but the other ups and downs is where you start building that wedge, that pennant pattern over time. So it's very likely we may have seen our lowest gold price already, or if we see a lower one, it's not going to be too much lower if we're still talking about a stagflationary system.
Right.
Now,
yeah,
everything could change if the S&P took a 30% hit.
That's right.
That could change things, but I don't see that happening, barring that type of event that really shakes the market up and scares people.
Yeah, well, and we mentioned the labor markets earlier. What I'm trying to express to the listener is that the undercurrent of the economy is not good. Things like $2,000 dividends per person tells you that something's off. So if they see stagflation or recession or depression coming because of the way the numbers are shaping up, then of course they're going to try to head it off. We have never had this type of printing or stimulus where we weren't in a recession, a depression, or a war. So what are we doing? If the economy's so great, why are we doing this? Because all it's going to do is drive inflation significantly higher, just like what they did in COVID response and what we subsequently ended up seeing in the following years. And that was the great inflation of 21 through 2024. And so to me, it's telling a story, but there's other negative news. And that is treasury yields have started to turn back up because of the response in Washington. The bond market is unsettled. So bonds have weakened further and the yields have started to rise. There's a University of Michigan employment sentiment rating where 71% of those polled feel as if unemployment is going to increase. Okay, so the 12-month economic expectation for unemployment, 71%.
Yeah, but they can adjust that data too, so who cares?
Yeah, that's right.
It's just
but
like,
more importantly than that, the perceived probability of job loss among consumers. So as they're polling people, like, how secure do you feel like your job is? 23%, which is the second highest in 15 years. So that includes COVID. Second highest, 23% feel as if there's a probability that they're going to lose their job. We've never seen that outside of a recession. Okay, so fears about unemployment have almost never been this high. And I know that sentiment, all right? That's feelings. Miles, you're a very feeling guy. I'm not so much.
So yeah, yeah.
So
just
the real data.
Captain Sensitive.
Mr. Sensitivity has left the studio. So the employment change, like private sector payrolls, worst that we've seen in many years. I mean, 3,333 jobs created in the private sector, according to private sector payrolls. That's a terrible number. Now, you've also got, obviously, the debt increasing that we know, but you've got delinquencies increasing. So it's not just public debt, it's private debt. So credit card debt now is about 12.5% 90 days or more delinquent. 12.5% of all credit cards are seeing 90 days or more delinquency rates. Auto loans, 5% and climbing. That's an incredibly high number. Okay, we haven't been this high since 2010. That's higher than COVID. Mortgage delinquencies are now on the rise, higher than we've seen, again, since COVID. And student loans are over 14%, depending upon the demographic, if you take them all in. Student loans, there were no defaults. There were no 90-plus day delinquencies for a couple of years because they paused the payback requirement during the Biden administration. But prior to that, we were floating somewhere around 9%. Now we're almost 15% on average. Again, the highest we've ever seen. And so these are telling us a story that people cannot hang on. They spent from the stimulus, they overborrowed, overspent, and we knew a day of reckoning was coming. And I think that's what they're looking at. They can see manufacturing jobs are still at a loss. We're still losing manufacturing jobs. We've tried to flip a switch, but it has not gotten into positive gains in manufacturing jobs yet. And same thing with all non-farm payrolls in this steady decline. So labor market's weak, inflation's high, money supply is climbing too fast, gold is telling a story, and unfortunately, so are delinquencies. And it's only going to wrap up.
It's almost like there's already a word for that.
Sure.
Stagflation.
There you go.
So that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website at McIlvaney.com/radio. And you can catch all the charts on the YouTube version of this show every week. While there, you can also grab our phone number if you'd like to give us a call and chat about your personal precious metals portfolio with one of the advisors here at McIlvaney Precious Metals. You can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.